Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Some words in this text I want to look at. He's made us partakers of the inheritance. Inheritance. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us unto the kingdom of His dear Son. We've been redeemed through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Lord, helping me, I'd like to preach tonight on the thought, the conflict in deliverance. There is a conflict in deliverance. Paul is talking to the Colossians here, and he reminds them, and I believe that's fit for you and I also, to be reminded that we have something to give thanks for. It doesn't matter how low we might feel in our spirit. Doesn't matter the warfare that we go through, as we do go through warfare in this present life. We wrestle with powers of darkness. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers in high places. It is a warfare, but there is something to be thankful for. He said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He made it possible that we could be qualified through the blood of His dear Son, that we can be partakers in the wonderful, lovely, glorious, marvelous inheritance of the saints in light. I'm thankful tonight that I have inherited the kingdom of God. I'm thankful tonight that I am a child of God. I can stand and testify and say, I'm one of those that have chose to be different. I'm one of those that have chose to walk the pilgrim's highway. That highway that is called holiness tonight. Amen. Doesn't matter what culture we come out of. If we belong to Christ, we are on a highway of holiness. Amen. Doesn't matter what side of town we live on. The pathway is still holiness. It's still righteousness. It's still godliness. And God's qualified me not through my works and not through my deeds and not through my family pedigree upon the earth, but He's qualified me by the blood of Jesus Christ that was put over the doorpost of my heart shed at Calvary and qualified me to inherit with the saints in light. That means I've been delivered. But there's a conflict in that deliverance. He said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and changed us, translated us, changed us from one state to another state, from one status to another status. Y'all stay with me. I might move a little slow. I got somewhere to go though. Translated us from one place to another place. Amen. Into the kingdom of His dear Son. He delivered us from the power of darkness. Now deliverance does not come easy. You and I both know and understand tonight that when we repented of our sins, when we really repented and we really got down to business with God in an altar, amen, it just wouldn't have come down the aisle smacking our lips, chewing gum, smiling from ear to ear, deciding I'm going to join up with the club. But we got a broken and a contrite spirit about ourselves, and we're all tore apart, realizing we're on our way to hell. And when we got in that altar, we wrestled with demons, we wrestled with flesh, we wrestled with all kind of adversity before we got into the kingdom of God. Deliverance didn't come easy. But because there was a heart down here reaching up unto a hand up there, a reaching down, and there was a willingness to take a hold of that hand and take a hold of those promises and take a hold of those commandments and take a hold of that life, deliverance has come in the light of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know what? Holiness people have forgot to rejoice over the simplicity of our redemption. Watch out, preacher. Can I preach it out right there? Hallelujah. Amen. We get glorified and petrified over our standards and forget to rejoice over the first step that we ever made to enter into the lovely kingdom of God. I want to tell you something, beloved. Before we ever saw sanctification, before we ever shouted and danced in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, before we ever knew the joy of living a clean, holy life, we were redeemed. Hallelujah. We were pulled up out of that Egyptian bondage. Now this morning, as I was talking, Egypt represented the preservation of life. Tonight it's the very imps of hell. Hallelujah. It's the very pits of bondage and debauchery. And every vile thing that could happen among humanity is found in Egypt. That's the reason once they left out of Egypt and crossed under the blood that was over the doorpost, amen, it was to never return again. Though they got discouraged in the way, got discouraged by the way, though things got rough and they wanted to turn back, Moses knew this is not the thing to do. We must keep on going further. And that's the reason Moses would fall on his face before God every time that crowd would begin to murmur and complain. Hey, you want to keep your pastor praying? Keep acting like Israel. You want to keep him shouting? Quit acting like Israel. Hallelujah. I don't want to lose you before I get you here tonight. Praise the Lord. But the forgiveness of sins, redemption, and I want to look at that tonight as I talk about the conflict in deliverance. I want to go back all the way back to the book of Exodus when God spoke to Moses and told him to go over there and tell that Pharaoh to let my people go. They needed deliverance. God said, I have heard their cry. I have heard their cry. It's come up into my ears and I've heard the cry and I've come down to deliver them. God said, I've heard your cry and I've heard your mourning and I've heard your weeping and I've come down to deliver you. I'm sending a man that way that's going to look the devil right in the face and say, let my people go. Amen. I'd like to know that somebody's standing in my stead and going before the face of the Father on my behalf, and that'll intervene on my behalf and go to my foe and say, let that boy go and let him find some relief from the bondage that's coming upon him. And God told Moses in Exodus 7 and 16, and thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. Now here's the conflict in deliverance. And some of you may need deliverance tonight. You may not be bound with drugs. You may not be bound in alcohol. What you're bound in may not even be sin. It may be a weight that Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, had spoke about in Hebrews chapter 12, when he said, wherefore, seeing we're all so compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You may be bound with a weight. It may not be a sin. You may not be convinced it's sin, but it's weighting you down and it's holding you back. And God's saying, I want you to go free. And you're saying in your heart unto the enemy, let my people go. Pharaoh's not so easy to let God's people go. Consider that. Moses, they turned the rivers into blood. Ain't gonna let them go. He turned and frogs come up all over the place. Pharaoh said, take the frogs out of here. Moses said, when do you want the frogs to leave? Is this too elementary for y'all? Hey, come on here. Amen. He said, well, get the frogs out of here. Moses said, when you want them to go? He said, tomorrow. Pharaoh, in other words, said, I believe I'll take one more night with the frogs. He could have got rid of them that night. Is that our problem sometimes? We want one more night with the frogs while we got opportunity. Let's go ahead and get the frogs out of the land. Amen. They piled them up and they stank. And then Pharaoh's heart hardened and he refused to let them go. And then God calls through the hand of Moses dust and it become lice all over the place. Pharaoh's crying about the lice. Amen. Get the lice out of here. They're gone. He still refuses to let God's people go. And then Moses says, we're going to put flies all over the place if you don't let my people go. He said, oh no, don't send the flies. I'll let you go. He said, I'll let you go. And here's where we're at in the modern church. Here's where we're at in modern Pentecost today. The devil will make it easy on you and he'll convince you that you can leave the bondage of sin. You can leave the bondage of the world. He'll tell you but that you can go, but listen closely to the words of Pharaoh as he gave them the admonition that they could go. Pharaoh said, I will let you go. The devil's saying today, I will let you go from my bondage. Oh no, Brother Morgan, once he lets us go, we're free to serve God. Oh no, he's let some people go because they went on his terms and they went according to his desires and they've never really yoked up to God. You see, you can jump on that wall for me, brother. I mean, stand up on that wall for me. Amen. Glory to God. He can get you to go. Amen. The other wall's the destination where we need to be in God. He can let you go and you'll only go for a little while. That's satisfactory to the enemy. Amen. He doesn't care that you leave the bondage and the depths of debauchery and of sin if you just don't go all the way. And that's exactly what the Pharaoh's telling Moses right here. You look at it, he said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. He's saying it's all right to go to church. It's all right to sit on a pew. It's all right to sing in the choir. It's all right to testify every now and then. It's all right to say you're a Christian, but don't go too far with it. Don't give yourself to fasting. Don't give yourself to praying. Don't give yourself to seeking out the Word of God and finding out how close you can get to God. Don't go too far. Don't go too far. Don't go too far. Entreat for me. So they did. And the flies left. He hardened his heart and did not let the people go. He said, in other words, I'll let you go, but you stay on my lease. And I'm afraid there's a lot of folks sitting on church pews in our day. And it's not just sitting on the nominal church pews. It's not sitting on just the worldly organizational church pews, but I believe they're sitting on holiness pews. I believe they're sitting on a holiness church pews tonight. Amen. That the devil has let them go, but he's still got a lease on them. That lease is still holding on to their thinking. That lease is still holding on to their attitudes. That lease is still holding on to their opinions. That lease is still holding on to some part of their life. We're looking like we've got the part. We're looking real good. But what's going on in the inner depths of our soul and our integrity and our walk with God? You can go, but don't go far. He won't let you go far. You cannot do. The devil will not give you leave. There must be a power reaching down and a hand reaching up and a connection being made between you and God, and the power and the anointing of God breaking those bonds, breaking those chains. Amen. The anointing will destroy the yoke. It won't just break it, but it'll destroy it. And unless that yoke is found to destroy it, you'll only go a little piece away from bondage. So they caused the grievous murrain to come on the cattle. His heart was hardened. A ball breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast, he changed his mind. He wouldn't let them go. God said, I'll smite thee with thy people with pestilence. He didn't let them go. He sent a very grievous hail, so much that it was a fireball hail running across the ground. But he would not let those people go. Then he said, else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast. Then Pharaoh talks nice again. Listen to him. Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. He's gave us leave. We can go. I want you to remember this. I'm going to talk about three things the devil will let you do, making you think he's giving you liberty from his attacks and from his tactics. The first one, he'll say, you can go, but don't go far. Next thing, he'll say, you can go, but don't take your children. Don't take your children. Listen. You can go, serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and we will go with our old, with our sons and with our daughters. Thank God for Moses. With our flocks and with our herds will we go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. We must hold a feast unto the Lord. Moses said, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave bondage. I'm going to leave affliction. I'm going to take my babies with me. I'm going to take my cattle with me. I'm going to take everything I've got with me. Oh, would you stand tonight on the promises of God's word and say, listen, devil, I'm going to stand flat-footed. I'm going to look you right in the eye. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not staying in the slime pots of your evil anymore. And I don't intend to leave my children unto your debauchery. I don't intend to leave my children unto your wicked wiles. I intend to take them with me. Amen. Somebody said, amen, that when the city of Nineveh was brought under that charge, that God was going to deliver it, and the preaching of Jonah went throughout there. I believe the Bible says that that king called a fast, and everybody in Nineveh fasted. Even the cows fasted. Even the dogs fasted. Every beast around there fasted. That king said, in other words, before God destroys his place, I'm going to see if God will hear our prayer and see our fasting. What are you saying, Brother Morgan? I'm saying it's time that we as children of God rose up and said, I'm not giving my children to the devil. I'm not going to serve the Lord God Almighty and let my children go to pot, but I'm going to keep them laid on that altar.
I'm going to keep them in a church pew. I'm going to keep the presence of God living and alive in my home. I'm not going to let the Sunday school teacher be the only one that teaches them, but I'm going to teach them the ways of God around that family altar. I'm going to call them to prayer in the evening. I'm going to call them to prayer in the morning. I'm going to teach them the value of getting alone with God. I'm going to leave Cain. I'm going to leave Egypt, and I'm not going to leave my children there. For we must hold a feast. And he said unto him, let the Lord be so with you, and as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you, not so. Go now, ye that are men. He said, in other words, don't take your children. He's not concerned about it. It sounds like Pharaoh was kind of concerned. Oh, it's going to be dangerous, Moses. Leave your children. Pharaoh knew exactly what he was saying. Amen. If that older generation goes on out there and leaves the bondage and leaves Egypt, he's got the children there to train them like he wants them. He's got the children there to teach them what he wants to teach them, to show them what he wants to show them. Who's teaching your children when you're not looking at them? Pastor, I mean, who's teaching your children? Who's showing them what to do? Who is teaching your children? Who are you letting your children run with? Are you letting them run with godly children? Are you letting them run with that crowd and you're being so pious and holy as to say, now don't do like they do. Do like we do. They're not going to do it. They're going to go like the crowd that they run with. Amen. They used to say you send a bird dog out. They're running with the squirrel dogs. Amen. It'll start pointing squirrels after a while. Amen. You can go. This is the conflict and deliverance. The enemy's crying. You can go. I'll give you a little leadway to kind of move on out of bondage. I'll give you a little leadway to move on out and to get the taste of deliverance. I'll let you taste the shout. Help me tonight. I don't want to get too mean. I'll let you taste the good feeling. I'll let you feel the goosebumps running up and down the avenues of your spine. I'll let you dance in the spirit a little bit. Amen. I'll let you smile. I'll let you enjoy the presence of God flowing through the house, coming off somebody else upon you, but don't go too far. And I'll let you shout and speak in tongues and lie in that bed all night long praising me, praising God and glorifying Him, but let your children do what they want to do. You let them make their own decisions. You let them call their own shots. Beloved, tonight Moses, as the leader of the children of Israel, had a responsibility upon him to teach those elders a responsibility that your children are your responsibility. And you don't leave them in Egypt while you go down there and have a good time at church. But you yoke them up and you bundle them up against your breast. And you take them with you. And you let them get a taste of the glory of God that you're enjoying. Amen. I've heard the stories about Grandma down in the woodshed crying and calling on God's name. I appreciate the grandmas that'll do that. But I appreciate a little bit more the grandmas that'll take the grandbabies by the hand and take them down to that shed and call on God with them gathered up under her wing. Amen. So they can see and experience that prayer and crying out to God and the glory of God takes place in more places than just in the house of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can go, but don't go far. The conflict and deliverance. You can go, but don't take your children. Don't take nobody with you. Oh, no. I'm going to take them with me. When they get of age and they're out. I'm not saying of age and they're still in. When they're in that house, they're still your responsibility, Pop. Amen. But when they decide they're going to move out, that's when you can't say much about it. You can keep praying Keep depending on them taking a hold of what you taught them. Amen. I'm afraid this generation, ooh, help me, brother. Hallelujah. I'm afraid there's a mindset in our day that didn't come from the Word of God. Amen. If it come from God's Word, you'll have to show it. I haven't found it in there. Amen. I'm understanding Jesus Christ was 30 years old when He stepped out in His ministry. 33 and a half years old when He's crucified. Amen. I never saw in the Word of God where a person was determined that they were an adult and they could tell you that they know what to do when they was 18 years old. Oh, my baby's 18 now. I can't tell them nothing. You can tell them as long as they're eating your groceries. You can tell them as long as they're enjoying your lights and your heat and your cold. Amen. You can tell them that. I said you can tell them that. And God's Word won't contradict what I just said. Hallelujah. The household has a priest in it. And the devil says, you can go, but let me have the children. At the formative years, the teenage years, they're formidable when they're children, five and all. But when they're teenagers, society has told them they're big enough and they're old enough to act like adults. They ain't done it. I'm losing the young folks now, and I know there's a crowd of them here. Hey, I'm not as old as I look, children. Sue said, you're right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Children, this has been getting a hold of me lately. Amen. I'm going to run a rabbit right here, but we're going to take care of this rabbit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen. And y'all doing it, ain't you? Praise the Lord. You need to listen. Young folks, raise your hand at me and wave at me. Oh, you ain't even minding me. Come on, get over that spirit of rebellion done getting on you already. Wave at me, young folks. Wave at me real good. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what society tells you. The devil says you can go, but you don't go too far. And he's telling the children of God you can leave bondage, but don't take your children. Amen. You listen. You listen to what the old folks have to say. Amen. The Word of God teaches me that Rehoboam chose to listen to the peers that he has that he grew up with. And he got himself in a big pile of trouble. When he did, if he'd listened to the old folks, he'd have had 12 tribes of serving him. He'd have had the tribe of the people of Jeroboam eaten out of his hand. But he said, I'm going to go with that younger crowd because they're hip. Because they're just like me. And they know everything. Somebody said, why don't we go ahead and put a teenager in the White House so we can get all the problems of the world solved? Because when we're teenagers, we think we know everything. Teenagers, I'm sorry to tell you that there's a lot of curves and there's a lot of hills and there's a lot of valleys and there's a lot of briar bushes you yet got to go through. And if you'd pay attention to somebody that's done been around those curves and around down through those valleys and over those mountains, if you'd pay attention to somebody that's already been there, they can help you stay out of some potholes. Go ahead, but leave your children. No, sir. Bring them with you and tell them every little pothole that's in the road and show them everything you possibly can. But pray to God that they will listen. They will listen. They will listen. They will listen. Brother Donald Ross, you know him. He said something to the effect. He said, I spent all my life. He's an older man, I think in his 70s now. I believe a man of wisdom. I said, he preached for me one time, and I sat on the front pew the Saturday night before the Sunday he preached, and I just sat there listening to the wisdom flowing out of his mouth. I was just sat in awe, just listening to what that older man of God had to say. Why did the Bible say that about the hoary head, the gray head, found in the way of God? Wisdom. But he said, I spend all my life, we spend all our life learning how to live. And when we finally learn it, we're too old to enjoy it. That's the reason I've got to listen. to the older man and woman of God. They've learned how to live. They're too feeble now to live it. But they will tell me if I listen. But on the other side of the conflict, the devil saying, you middle-aged, he's saying, come on, you can go, but don't take your children. They won't love you. They'll think you're too hard. You better tighten it down on them. God loves your soul. You better go ahead and tighten it down on them when they're very small. Tighten it with love. Tighten it with truth. But tighten it. Let them know this is the way. Walk therein. The devil's conflict. The conflict of deliverance is, go, but don't take your children. Pharaoh wants them. Pharaoh wants them. So then he changed his mind. And so they're not gone yet. The locusts come. Oh, get rid of the locusts. I'm sorry. Can you imagine, Pharaoh? I'm sorry, get rid of the locusts. Get rid of the locusts. I ain't going to do it. You can't go. Then a darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. Such a darkness. And Pharaoh called out of the darkness unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. You see, when we begin to seek God, and God's presence comes in our lives, we're tightening the hatch on the enemy, and he said, okay, I'll let you go. But he's always got a but. He's always got a way out. I can't stand this darkness. Y'all go, but let your flocks, and even take your children. It's all right. If he sees you're determined you're going to go all the way, then he's going to go and try to get you to leave your children behind. If he sees you're determined you're going to go all the way and you're going to take your children with you, he's going to devise another plan. There's a conflict in this deliverance. While there's a hand reaching down, there's a hand reaching up. One thing I must learn about Moses in this, at any given time, he could have gave up. He could have said, God, you've told me to do something and the opposition's too hard. I'm just going to go back to Sinai and feed sheep. But something inside of Moses, he knew that God has spoke to me. When I crawled in an altar, brother, in 1973, about right there at Richland Creek Church of God, I knew I heard the voice of God. I didn't know much about Him. All I knew was I visualized a throne in the glories and a king on that throne and the power that could wash my sins away and set my feet on a higher plane. Amen. But I knew that I'd heard from God. I got up from that altar a changed boy. I got up from there wanting more of God. He gave me more and more, and He's still giving it to me today. But Moses knew he'd heard from God, and he wasn't about to back up, even though the conflict was getting tighter. Amen. No doubt he laid down that first time Pharaoh said, you can go, but don't go far. He thought, I ain't going to do it. We're going to go all the way with God. And he dreamed about that all night long. I do. I dream about things. There's some things frustrating me the other night. I was writing letters all night long. Amen. I was going to write this preacher a letter about what he was doing. Then after I got through writing that letter in my trying to sleep in my just tossing and rolling, I wrote another personal letter. I didn't like the way they'd done some things. Amen. I figure that's the best way to do it. Let them have it so they can read it over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. You got any members you'd like to write some letters to? Hallelujah. Anybody like to write your pastor a letter? Praise the Lord. Amen. They sat there all night long, and then Pharaoh finally bends a little bit and comes back and says, all right, you can go, but don't take your children with you. Amen. Lay back down, rolling and tossing. What's he talking about? Leaving my children behind. Ain't going to do it. Ain't going to happen. And now Pharaoh's saying, you can go, but leave your flocks and your herds. What has that got to do with anything? You listen at what Moses said. Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. In other words, Pharaoh said, you can go, but don't sacrifice to God. You go and just smile and sit on a pew. You go with your children. You see, the devil's not happy that you take your children, but if you get your children in church with you, he's just as satisfied if you'll sit there and fold your arms and have that spirit of bless me if you can, and never give the sacrifice of praise, never give the sacrifice of giving unto God. Amen. Back down on your tithing and whatever else God would have you to make the sacrifice for. He's happy as he can be with your children under your arm there on that pew, and you're sitting there drying up without sending up a sacrifice. Amen. You can go, but don't sacrifice. What you talking about? Me go to church and not sacrifice the praise unto God? Don't sacrifice. I ain't going to do that. It'd be easier that way. I mean, it'd be easy, but we didn't come in this thing for it to be easy. Amen. We can find a place where it's easy, where we can sit there like everybody else, like a stump on a log. Not on a log. Amen. But my Lord, I said we're redeemed. Listen. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I believe that called for a sacrifice. I don't feel too good tonight. I don't feel like standing up. I don't feel like leaping for joy. I don't feel like praising the Lord. I don't feel like praying in that altar. Amen. That's when it becomes a burnt offering and a sacrifice unto God. That's when the heavens open up and the glory comes down and God visits your soul. It's when you reach past your feelings and you understand that about three times I read in the Word of God that the just shall live by their faith and not by their feelings. Ain't gonna leave my sacrifice. If I go, I'll go as far as God wants me to go. If I go, I know it's a conflict. I see what the conflict is. If I go, I'll go as far as God wants me to go. If I go, my children's going with me as long as I got anything to say about it. If I go, I'm not leaving a hoof behind. I'm not leaving a praise behind. I'm not leaving a glory, a hallelujah behind. I'm not leaving it. I'm going to take it all with me. Glory to God. I like the way Moses put it. He's talking to the king of Egypt that probably could have told one of his sidekicks, get his head. And it got his head off. But he looked at that Pharaoh and said, our cattle also shall go with us. You done got on my best nerve. Ain't it about time that we paid recognition to the fact that the devil just has went far enough taunting? Hadn't he taunted some of us enough? He said, wait a minute. Hey, the Bible says to get angry and sin not. And I believe it's all right to get angry at the devil. Not the person he's using, but at the devil. He said, our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. In other words, if one of those hoofs happens to fall off that cow because he's sick or something, we're going to pick it up and take it with us. I don't know. I believe he meant what he said. Because God had spoke to him. Get him out. Get him out. Not a hoof left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff in that. You see, that's the reason we need to sell out to God when we come to God. Because we don't know what He's going to use. And we don't know that He might be wanting to use something in our life that we're holding back and leaving back there. He said, I don't know for sure exactly just what God's going to want. So I'm going to take everything we got so I'll know for sure that I've got what He wants. Oh, you hear me tonight? I want to give Christ all of me. Because I don't know, when I knelt at that altar at 16 years old, I didn't know for sure just exactly what God would want to use in my life. Because I didn't feel like there was anything in there He could use. And I didn't know as I'd grow older if there'd be anything. I wasn't the popular one in school. I wasn't the one talented with the gift of speaking. I had no charisma to share with anyone. I was just plain old Red Morgan's boy. Amen. Red Morgan's boy. That's all he was. The baby boy. Amen. I won't even go into details. I just didn't have it. So I said, Lord, I'll just give you all of me. Because I don't know what part of me that you might need after a while. Lo and behold, he looked inside of me and he found a want. And he found a willingness. And he found an availability. And I found out as I begin to grow in the Lord. And beloved, I'm still growing in the Lord 34 years later. But I found out those three things are the exact things he's looking for in anybody that will come to him. To be available, to be willing, to be desirous to get a hold and do what God wants them to do. I ain't going to leave a bit of it behind. I'll fight this conflict, but I'm taking every bit of me. I'm taking every bit of us. I'm taking it. And then Pharaoh finally, at the death of the firstborn, after the lamb's been slain, and the blood's put over the doorpost, and the angel of death is coming through the land. And everybody who doesn't have the blood over the doorpost are losing that firstborn child. Even unto Pharaoh and all his servants, the firstborn, there's a great cry, a great mourning, a great bitterness throughout the land of Egypt. Pharaoh called for Moses and he says, go, without any strings attached. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon. And all the firstborn of cattle, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, rise up, get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go. Serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your head as ye have said. And be gone and bless me also. The devil says go. Go as far as you want. Take your children. Take your peers at school. Take your friends at work. Go. Go take your sacrifices. Go, no strings attached. And if the story stopped there, we could have a good time tonight. But the story doesn't stop. When he says go, he rethinks and realizes, I've lost a good one. I've lost a good one that done me much profit. See, those Israelites were great profit for the Egyptians, building their cities, building for them. What have I done? Do you understand why the morning after you really get a good blessing, you feel like all torment has landed back on top of you again? How many knows what I'm talking about? Man, I thought God delivered me last night. I thought I had the victory over this thing last night. Sometimes it don't wait till the next morning and catches you about out there on the porch. You slip out the side door to try to avoid it and it catches you over there. What's happening? He realizes what he just lost and he's going to pursue after it. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. I know they fled. I told them to flee. But the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He made ready his chariot and he took his people with him. He said, I'm going to try to get them back. That's the reason you better stay on your guard. That's the reason Peter said to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's the reason James said to submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He's coming after you. He saw you'll go as far as God wants you to go. He's seeing you'll take your children with you. He's seeing that you will sacrifice. And so he's not going to come after you here so much. He'll come after you at home. He'll come after you at the job. He'll come after you at school. Hallelujah. Can I have some music up here real quick like? Amen. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse number 4. Amen. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The conflict of deliverance really is this. Once you've been delivered, don't turn your back on that enemy. They looked and they saw the smoke rising up from the heels of the horsemen as they were coming after him. The armor of God provides for me a shield, a breastplate, a sword, a helmet, a girdle for the loins, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Dude, it provides nothing for the hinder parts. I cannot turn my back on him. I must stay afoot fighting him. The conflict of our deliverance is the reality that he has not given up. He still wants you. He's still after you. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Would you stand?